Shadanavandam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Jai Jagannath Sachidanandan Tribhuvane Koriyar Sharanavandan. Sachidanandan Tribhuvane Koriyar Sharanavandan. All glories to the dear son of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. All the three worlds offer prayers unto his lotus feet. In Nilachala, he holds the conch shell disc club and lotus flower, while in the town of Nadia, he holds a sannyasi staff and water pot. It is said that in olden times, as Lord Ramachandra, he killed the demon Ravana. Then later, as Lord Krishna, he revealed the splendorously opulent pastimes of Goloka. Now, thank you, he has come again as Lord Gauranga, the fair-skinned incarnation, endowed with the ecstatic mood of Sri Radha, and has spread widely the chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna. Jai Jagannath. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Shinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantak Stohya Bhadrani Vidunati Srihitsatam Nastaprayesu Abhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamasloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki Tadarajas Tamo Bhavo Kamalobhadayaschaye Cheta Itaira Navitam Stitvam Sattve Prasidati Evam prasana manaso bhagavat bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnana mukta sangha shajayate vidyate hridaya grantis tidyante sarvasamsaya siyante tasya karmani drishta eva atmanishvare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now we're going to read all the verses of the seventh chapter, Bhagavad Gita. As we explained yesterday, these are the most important chapters of Bhagavad Gita, 7th to 12th, but especially the 7th chapter is extremely important because it says that the nature of Krishna consciousness is fully described in this chapter. So if you know this one chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you're very well versed in the whole philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, I'll chant the whole mantra first, then you repeat it. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Mai Sakta Manak Partha, Yogam Yunjan Madashraya, Asam Sayam Samogamam, Yata Yasya Sitat Shrinu. Go ahead. Mai Sakta. Jnanam teham cha vijnanam idam vakshyami seshataha yajgatva neha bhuho nyaj gyatavyam avasishyate.
Yajnatva neha bhuho nyaj nyatvam avishyate.
Manushyanam sahasresu kaschit yatati siddhaye jatatam api siddhanam kaschit man vetitatvataha.
Manushyanam sahasresu kaschit yatati siddhaye jatatam api siddhanam kaschit man vetitatvataha.
Bhumirapo nalo vayu kammano buddhirevacha ahankara itiyam me pinapakitirastata.
Bhumirapo naloya yu kammano buddhi revacha ahankari tiyam me bhinna prakriti rashtatha.
Aparihamitastvanyam pakriti vidime param jivabhutam mahabaho yayadam daryate jagat.
Aparihamitastvanyam prakritim vidime param jivabhutam mahabaho yayadam daryate jagat.
Itajyonini bhutani sarvaniti upadaraya aham krishnasya jagata prabhava pralayastata.
Itadyonini bhutani sarvaniti upadharya aham krishnadya jagata prabhava pralayastata.
Matak parataram nanyat kinchit asti dananjaya mai sarvam idam protram shute manigana iva.
Matak parataram nanyat kinchit asti dananjaya mai sarvam idam protram sutre manigana iva.
Rasoham apsakonteya prabhasme sasisuraya pranava sarvavedesu sabdeke purusham nisu.
Rasoham apsu konteya prabhasmi sasi suryaya pranavah sarva vedeshu sabda ke porisham rishu.
Punyaganda prativyam cha tejas chasmi vibhavaso jivanam sarva bhutanam tapas chasmi tapas visu.
Punyaganda prativyam cha tejas chasmi vidhasvasa
vibhavaso
jivanam sarva bhuteshu tapas chasmi tapasvishu.
Bijamam sarva bhutanam vidhi partha sanatanam buddhir buddhimatam asmi tejas tejasvinam aham.
Bijamam sarva bhutanam vidhi partha sanatanam buddhir buddhimatam asmi tejas tejasvinam aham.
Balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vivarjitam dharma virodo bhutesu kamosmi bharatarsava.
Balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vijarvitam dharma virodo bhuteshu kamo ismi bhartavashava.
Ichaiva sattika bhava rajasastamasaschaye mata iveti tanviti natvaham tisute mayi.
Ye cheva sattvika bhava rajasahatam sachaye mata evati tanvidhi natvaham tesuta mayi.
Tribhi gunamaye bhavir ebe sarvam idam jagat mohita nabijanati mam ebya param abhyayam.
Tribhir gunamaye bhave ebe sarvam idam jagat mohitam nabijanati mam ebya param evyam.
Daivihi esu gunumayi mamavaya duratyaya mam evaye propadyante mayamitam tarantite.
Devi esu gunamayi mamaya duratyaya mam evaye propadyante mamamita tarantite.
Namam duskritina mudha propadyante naradama maya aprita jnana asuram babam asritaha.
Namam duskritno mudha prabhadyante naradhama maya parta jnana asuram bhavam ashrita.
Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritina rujana arta jigyasu artati jnanicha bharatarsaba.
Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna arto jinasu artati Jnani Bhati
Sarva. Tesam Jnani Niti Yukto Eka Bhaktir Visishyate Priyohi Jnanino Tyartam Aham Satya Mama Priya.
Tesam Jnani Nitya Yuktam Eka Bhakti Visishyate Priyohi Jnanino Tyartam Satya Mam Priya. Maham Satya Mam Priya.
Aham Satya Mama Priya.
Aham Satya Mama Priya.
Udara sarva evaite jnani tvatmaiva me matam astita sahi yuktatma mam evam utamam gatim.
Udara sarva evaite jnani tvatmaiva me matam astita sahi yuktatma mam evam utamam gatim.
Bahunam janmanamante jnanavam mam prapadyante Vasudeva Savamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha.
Bahunam janmante jnanavanam prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha.
Kamaistaistar hitajana prapadyante nyadevata tam tam niyamamastaya pakritya niyataksvaya.
Kamaistaistar hitajana prapadyante nyadevata tam tam niyamamastaya prakritya niyataksvaya.
Pakritya niyataksvaya.
Prakritya niyataksvaya.
Yoyoyam yam tanum bhakta shradaya chitam ihati. Ichyati tasyata sachalam shradham tameva vidadam yaham.
Yo yo yam yam tanum bhakta bhakta shraddha yarchitam ichyati tasyakalam shraddham tameva vidhamahi aham.
Sataya shraddaya yuktas tasya radhanam ihate labhate cha tata kamam mayaiva vihitan hitan.
Sataya shraddaya yuktas tasyardhanam hiyate labhate cha tatat kamam maya vevihatin hitan.
Antavat tu phalam tesam atad bhavati alpamedasam devan deva yujoyanti madbhakta yanti mam api.
Antavat phalam tesam tad bhavati alpamedasam devan deva yujoyanti madbhakta yanti mam api.
Vyaktam vyaktim apanam manyate mam abhudaya parambhavam ajananto mamavyayam anuttamam.
Avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mam abhudaya parambhavam ajananto mamavyayam anuttamam.
Naham prakasa sarvasya yogamaya samandritaha mudoyam nabijananti lokumam ajamavyayam.
Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samvartaha mudoyam nabhijananti loko mamajam avyayam.
Vidaham samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavishyami chabhutani mamtu vedana kashchana.
Vedaham samatitani
vartamanani
vartamanani cha arjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu vedana chashana.
Icha dvesa samuddena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani samoham sargayanti parantapa.
Icha dvesa samuddena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani samoham sargayanti parantapa.
Yesam tvantakitam papam Jananam punya karmanam te dvandva mohanir mukta bhajante mam jitavrataha.
Yesham te antagatam papam jnanam punya karmanam te dvandva mohanir mukta bhajante mam dhradavrataha.
Dhradavrataha. Jaram aranamokshaya mam asriteya tantiye. Te Brahma tad vidu Krishnam adiatmam karmachakilam.
Jara marna mokshaya mamashitya yatantiye. Te Brahma tad vidu Krishnam adiatmam karmachakilam.
Sadibhut adi devam mam sadiyagyam chaye vidur prayana kalipi chamam. Te vidur vyukta cheta saha.
Sadi bhutadi devam mam sadi yagyam cha ye vidu prayana kale api cha ma te vidur yukta chetase.
So there are only 30 verses in this chapter, but it contains all the essential knowledge of the entire Bhagavad Gita. So the first verse begins, Tatshrinu. Hear from me, Krishna says. That means that Krishna is the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, and Arjuna is listening and asking questions. So it says, now hear, O Stanaprita, how by practicing in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So this chapter will explain how you can know Krishna in full, and erase any doubts about him being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's how important this one chapter is. And the purport, in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the nature of Krishna consciousness is fully described. Krishna is full in all opulences, and how he manifests such opulences is described herein. So, the opulences of the Lord are also explained in the 10th chapter, which is entitled Opulence of the Absolute. Right. So these opulences are called vibhutis. And there he says, O mighty armed Arjuna, because you are my dear friend, for your benefit, I shall speak to you further, giving knowledge that is better than what I've already explained. So that's the first verse of the 10th chapter. So these vibhutis, or these opulences of the Lord, if you know them, you know the Lord. And you have tremendously increased appreciation of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can't really understand who he is until you read these verses of Bhagavad Gita, and you begin to get an inkling of the amplitude of the Lord's incredible potencies. And if you look at 10th chapter, verse number 7. And it says, Etam vibhutim yogam cha mama yoveti tatvataha so vikalpena yogena yujyate natra samsayaha. One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mine engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. So you get an idea how important this seventh chapter is. It's the beginning of the explanation of Krishna's vibhutis, transcendental opulences, and mystical power. And when you're factually convinced of the fact that Krishna has these transcendental opulences and mystical power, then you engage in unalloyed devotional service. So let's read the purport, the 10th chapter, 7th verse. Read out loud, louder.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The highest summit of spiritual perfection is knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless one is firmly convinced of the different opulences of the Supreme Lord, he cannot engage in the devotional service. Generally, people
read
know
that line again. Unless?
Unless one is firmly convinced of the different opulences of the Supreme Lord, he cannot engage in the devotional service. Generally, people know that God is great, but they do not know in detail how God is great. Here are the details. If one knows factually how God is great, then naturally he becomes a surrendered soul and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord. When one factually knows the opulences of the Supreme, there is no alternative but to surrender to Him. This factual knowledge can be known from the descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures. In the administration of this universe, there are many demigods distributed throughout the planetary system, and the chief of them are Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the four great Kumaras and the other
patriarchs.
Patriarchs.
These are the Prajapatis.
Prajapatis.
The grandsires of different races and different living entities.
There are many forefathers of the population of the universe, and all of them are born of the Supreme Lord Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original forefather of all forefathers. These are some of the opulences of the Supreme Lord. When one is firmly convinced of them, he accepts Krishna with great faith and without any doubt, and he engages in devotional service. All this particular knowledge is required in order to increase one's interest in the loving devotional service of the Lord. One should not neglect to understand fully how great Krishna is. For by knowing the greatness of Krishna, one will be able to be fixed in sincere devotional service.
Now we understand what's beginning to happen in the seventh chapter. We're going to become convinced of the incredible mystical power and vibhutis, opulences of Krishna. And this is also confirmed in the Svetasvatara Upanishad, where it says, one second. It says, Natasya Karanyam Karanam Chavidyate, Natat Samas Chabyadikas Chadrishyate, Parashya Shakti Vividaiva Shriyate, Swabhaviki Gyanabala Kriyacha. It says, Svetasvatara Upanishad, 6th chapter, verse number 8. He, meaning Krishna, does not possess bodily form like that of an ordinary living entity. There's no difference between his body and his soul. Now, that's one difference between us and Krishna. Right now, there's a difference between our material body and our soul. But in Krishna's case, he is Sachit Ananda Vigraha. His Vigraha, his form, is made of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. Therefore, there's no difference between his form or his spiritual body and his soul. Whereas there's a major difference between our material body and our soul. There is no difference between his body and his soul. He is absolute. All his senses are transcendental. Any one of his senses can perform the action of any other sense. That's why when Krishna hears our prayers of offering food to him, he actually tastes the food. He accepts it because he can eat with his ears, smell with his eyes, see with his nose. His senses are absolute. Each one of his senses can perform the actions of all the other senses. We don't have that power. Therefore, no one is greater than him or equal to him. His potencies are multifarious, meaning he has infinite number of potencies, infinite number of powers. And thus his deeds are automatically performed as a natural sequence. In other words, he simply thinks of something and it happens. We don't have that power. So here we are in the beginning of the seventh chapter, and you're going to see something interesting right now. You'll see how very tightly knit. So it says, Krishna's full in all opulences, and how he manifests such opulences is described herein. This is 7th chapter, 1st verse again, right? In the purport. Also, four kinds of fortunate people who become attached to Krishna and four kinds of unfortunate people who never take to Krishna are described in this chapter. In the first 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul, capable of elevating itself to self-realization by different types of yoga. At the end of the 6th chapter, it has been clearly stated that the steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna, or in other words, Krishna consciousness, is the highest form of all yogas. That's 647, the previous verse, last verse of the 6th chapter. Yoginam apisarvesam madgatanantaratmana shadavam bhajate yomam sami yuktatamo matak. And of all the yogis, Arjuna, he who always thinks of me, who's always serving me, who abides in me faithfully and never deviates, he is the best of all the yogis. So he explained there's karma yogis, jnana yogis, astanga yogis, and bhakti yogis. The bhakti yogi is the best. And of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Okay? So, then, by concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one is able to know the absolute truth completely, but not otherwise. Impersonal Brahma Jyoti, or localized Paramatma realization, is not perfect knowledge of the absolute truth because it is partial. Full and scientific knowledge is Krishna, and everything is revealed to the person in Krishna consciousness. In complete Krishna consciousness, none one knows that Krishna is ultimate knowledge beyond any doubts. Different types of yoga are only stepping stones on the path of Krishna consciousness. One who takes directly to Krishna consciousness automatically knows about Brahma Jyoti and Paramatma in full. By practice of Krishna consciousness yoga, one can know everything in full, namely the absolute truth, the living entities, the material nature, and their manifestations with paraphernalia. That's what's going to be explained in this chapter. The absolute truth, the living entities, the material nature, and their manifestations with paraphernalia. One should therefore begin yoga practice as directed in the last verse of the 6th chapter. Concentration of the mind upon Krishna, the Supreme, is made possible by prescribed devotional service in 9 different forms. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. These are 9 types of devotional service. But of which Shravanam is the first and most important. In other words, this hearing about Krishna on a regular basis is the most important aspect of devotional service. By regular hearing, Stanis, Tatak, Shrutikatan, Tanavan, Manobir, Lord Brahma prays staying in your position, but regularly hearing about Krishna is the most effective way to become Krishna conscious in this lifetime. And that's a verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Let me just find that right away. And 10th chapter, 14th verse, 10th canto, 14th chapter, and the 3rd verse. And it says, Jnani prayasam utapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadya vartam stanis titak strutikatan tanavan mano bir ye prayasu jita jito piyasitais trilokyam. Those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge, and with their body, words, and mind, offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. It's a very high-class verse. 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, 3rd verse, spoken by Lord Brahma. Krishna is Ajita. You cannot conquer him, but he becomes Jita for the devotee who relishes hearing his pastimes on a regular basis. Therefore, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Vayam tuna vritipyama uttama sloka vikrame yat shinvata rasa gyanam swadu swadu pade pade. It's a beautiful verse, and it says, "Oh my Lord, we never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with him relish hearing of his pastimes at every moment." In other words, one is never satiated by hearing the pastimes of the Lord. There's a great difference between mundane stories, fiction, or history, and the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. The histories of the whole universe contain references to the pastimes of the incarnation of the Lord. The Ramayana, the Mahabharata, and the Puranas are histories of bygone ages recorded in connection with the pastimes of the incarnations of the Lord, and therefore remain fresh even after repeated readings. For example, anyone may read Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam repeatedly throughout his whole life and yet find in them new light of information. Because these are not mundane stories. It's all transcendental pastimes. For example, anyone may read Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam repeatedly throughout his whole life and yet find in them new light of information. Mundane news is static, whereas transcendental news is dynamic. Inasmuch as spirit is dynamic and matter is static, those who have developed a taste for understanding the transcendental subject matter are never tired of hearing such narrations. One is quickly satiated by mundane activities, but no one is satiated by transcendental or devotional activities. Uttama Sloka indicates that literature, which is not meant for ignorance, mundane literature is in the mode of ignorance or darkness, whereas transcendental literature is quite different. Transcendental literature is above the mode of darkness, and its light becomes more luminous with progressive reading and realization of the transcendental subject matter, you see, becomes more luminous by progressive reading and progressive and realization of the transcendental subject matter. The so-called liberated persons are never satisfied by the repetition of the words Aham Brahmasmi. Such artificial realization of Brahman becomes hackneyed, and so to relish real pleasure, they turn to the narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who are not so fortunate turn to altruism and worldly philanthropy. This means the Mayavada philosophy is mundane, whereas the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental. And therefore, it also says here, apana samstritim goram yannama visvaso grinam tata sadyo vimuchyeta yad vibeti swayam bayam. These are all beautiful verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. So this chanting Hare Krishna and regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is the sure way to become liberated from the cycle of birth and death. Tasmat bharata sarvat ma bhagavan ishvaro hare shrotavya kirtitavya cha smartavya chichat abhayam. In the second canto Srimad Bhagavatam it says, Tasmat bharata sarvat ma. So at all times, O Bharat, Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari, you should hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Controller, and who takes away the misery of the living entities. Shrotavya kirtitavyascha, hear about him. Chant his glories, smartavya chechat abayam, and remember him, and you will never be overwhelmed by fear or doubt. Therefore, again, it says, Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Gyanyat Yasuvairagyam Gyanam Chayat Ahaitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. In other words, for Jnana and Vairagya, you do not have to endeavor for them separately. You simply engage in devotional service. And devotional service, there's 9 principles of it, but the 2-3 that are most important, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, or Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavya Chichad Abhayam. Smartavya Satatam Vishnu Vismartavya Najatu Chit. Always remember the Lord, never forget the Lord. These are the 2 most important rules of Krishna consciousness. And then it says, Shushusho Shadadana Sya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahatseva Avipra Punya Tirtani Sevanat. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So we're all trying to serve Srila Prabhupada, Krishna's pure devotee. By serving Prabhupada and Krishna nicely, we develop the taste, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, the taste for Vasudeva or Krishna's Katha. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called Deva, or godly living beings, and there are men called Asuras, or demons, who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, a vivid description of the Asuras is given, in which it is said that the Asuras are put into a lower and lower states of ignorance, life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms and have no information of the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead. These asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries according to the supreme will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord, and when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, or as sons of the Lord, or as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely came to be God themselves. For example, Ramanujacharya. He's considered to be Lakshman and the servant of Ram. But none of them falsely came to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the Asuras, and the demoniac followers of such Asuras also accept pretenders as God or as incarnation. In the revealed scriptures, there is definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or as an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself according to the indication of revealed scriptures, but he played the part of a devotee. People who knew him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. The Lord behaves so to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God, Bhagavan. So there was one recent Bhagavan in North India, Haryana, right? And what did he do? Did he murder someone?
Yeah, he had his own force, and there were 6 people got killed.
So a cordon of 50,000 people surrounded him and stopped the police from arresting him for a long time, but they finally arrested him, right? And six people died, yeah. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69 that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. This should be our motto. I want you to write this down, and we're going to put it up. Frame it, and we put it up. It says, First Canto, Chapter 2, Text 16, the last line of that purport. First Canto, Chapter 2, Text 16, the last line of the purport. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. Huh? Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 16, the last line of the purport. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. And the verse that says that is Text 16. By serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Very good. Concentration, now we go back to seventh chapter, purport, and beginning near the beginning of the third paragraph. Concentration of mind upon Krishna the Supreme is made possible by prescribed devotional service in nine different forms, of which Shravanam is the first and most important. 7th chapter, first verse, third paragraph. No one can be a greater authority than Krishna. Therefore, by hearing from him, one receives the greatest opportunity to become a perfectly Krishna conscious person. One has therefore to learn from Krishna directly or from a pure devotee of Krishna and not from a non-devotee upstart, puffed up with academic knowledge. Well, now let's take a look in the sixth chapter and the verse number 8. Jnana vijnana chittatma kutastha vijitendriya yukta iti uchyate yogi samalustrasma kas kanchanaha. Sixth chapter, Bhagavad Gita, eighth verse. It says, a person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi or mystic when he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Jnana vijnana triptatma means acquired knowledge, jnana, or theoretical knowledge, and vijnana, realization. Triptatma means is satisfied. Tripta atma, the living entity is satisfied, right? Such a person is situated in a transcendence, kutasto, meaning situated, transcendental life. Vijitendriya, vijita indriya, he controls the senses, he's self-controlled. Yukta iti uchyate yoga, yogi, and he's called a mystic yogi because he's competent for self-realization and he sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones, or gold, as the same. Samalustrasma kanchana. So one day a man was hearing Prabhupada lecture on this verse. He says, this doesn't make sense. It's not rational. How can you see pebble, stone, and gold the same? Prabhupada says, this is not for you. This is for the highly advanced devotee. Yes, if I give you stones or gold, of course you're going to take the gold. But the advanced devotee does not see like that. He's so enthralled with hearing about Krishna, right? What did it say? What did it say? What's our motto for today?
Eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God.
Yeah. So someone who's eager for gold is not interested in going back to Godhead, right? They're like Hiranyakashipu. You see, it has two parts to his name, Hiranyakashipu. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means a soft bed. He was only interested in money and illicit sexual connections. Because he's an asura, he's a demon. Right? That's all they're interested in. Money and sex. But the devotee is interested in Krishna Katha. And as it says, we read another wonderful verse yesterday. Vistare atmano yogam vibhutim cha janardana buyo kataya triptir hi shinvato nasti me matam. 10th chapter and verse number 18. He says, O Janardana, Krishna, again please describe in detail the mystic power of your opulences. I am never satiated, meaning satisfied, in hearing about you. For the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words. This is the symptom of a devotee. The absolute symptom of a devotee. The more I hear, I'm never satisfied. Buyo kataya triptir hi shinvato nasti me matam. In the lecture we gave about a month and a half ago, this was the theme of our lecture. Buyo kataya triptir hi shinvato nasti me matam. Again, I want to hear more and more about you, because the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words. This is the life of a devotee. He's not interested in gold. Not interested in a soft bed, interested in Krishna Katha. Therefore, he's eligible to go back to Godhead. Okay. So, in this verse, in 6th chapter, 8th verse, it says, let's read this. Go ahead, you can read the Prabhupada. You can read. Yeah, the purport, the commentary. Book knowledge.
Book knowledge without realization of the supreme truth is useless.
Read that again.
Book knowledge without realization of the supreme truth is useless. This is stated as follows. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him.
So you see, this is not academic knowledge. It's revealed knowledge. And it's revealed to us because it's already in our heart. We were already with Krishna previously. We know who Krishna is, but we left him and we forgot about him. In order to leave him and try and be a little Krishna in the material world, we have to forget about Krishna. We can't be constantly thinking about him and trying to compete with him. So to sin, you must forget completely about Krishna. This is a symptom of a person who's sinning. They've completely forgotten. But they have knowledge of Krishna innately. It's covered. So when one engages in devotional service, it's something like the onion, you know. You take the outer part of the onion off, then there's another layer. Then you take that layer off, then there's another layer, then you take that layer off, then there's another layer. It's like a Russian, those Russian dolls, you know, there's one doll, then there's another doll, and then, right? So when you get all these layers of Maya off the mirror of the mind, then your memory comes back. You understand? Yeah, I was always with Krishna. Krishna is my eternal Lord. See? That knowledge is innate. It's in our heart. But it's all packed up with rust. Go ahead.
This Bhagavad Gita is a science of Krishna consciousness. No one can become Krishna conscious simply by mundane scholarship. One must be fortunate enough to associate with people who is in pure consciousness. A Krishna conscious person has realized...
Associate with a person who is in pure consciousness. He said associate with people.
One must be fortunate enough to associate with a person who is in pure consciousness. A Krishna conscious person has realized knowledge by the grace of Krishna because he is satisfied with pure devotional service.
This is, you know, very important. How do you know if someone's really a Krishna, really Krishna conscious? Because they're satisfied simply by devotional service. They don't need devotional service plus ice cream, or a devotional service plus a vacation in Hawaii, or a devotional service plus this or plus that. They just need devotional service. They're satisfied. Hanuman is satisfied just with serving Ram. He doesn't need anything else. Jai Shishirada Nilamadava Kije. Because a Krishna conscious person has realized knowledge by the grace of Krishna, because he is satisfied with devotional service. Satisfied with pure devotional service. He doesn't need anything else. Most people need something else. Just like once Alexander the Great was with his guru, Aristotle. And he was saying, Gurudev, my only desire is to be here with you and to hear you speak. When you speak, it's all nectar to my ears. But first, I'm going to Asia Minor and conquer Asia Minor. Then I'm going to Persia and conquer Persia. Then I'm going to India and conquer India. Then I'm going to come back and conquer Saudi Arabia. Then I'm going to conquer Egypt. Then I'm going to come back and sit here and hear you. So Aristotle said, but you're sitting here right now. Why do you have to leave if this is what you want? Well, no, I have to do these things first. Well, he never made it back. He never. He died somewhere in the desert, in Pakistan or Saudi Arabia. So, well, how foolish! He's saying, "My only desire is to sit here and hear the nectar coming from your way. But first, I have to do this, that, this, and that, that. And then I'll come back and do it." And Aristotle said, "But you're sitting here right now. Why do you have to do all these other things if this is what you want?" You see, so someone who's realized, who understands Krishna's vibhutis, his opulences and mystic power, they don't need this thing and that thing and that thing and then come back and sit down. No, they're satisfied simply by devotional service and Krishna Katha. They don't need anything else. Go ahead.
By realized knowledge, one becomes perfect. By transcendental knowledge, one can remain steady in his convictions. But by mere academic knowledge, one can be easily deluded and confused by apparent contradictions. It is the realized soul who is actually self-controlled because he is surrendered to Krishna. He is transcendental because he has nothing to do with mundane scholarship. For him, mundane scholarship and mental speculation, which may be as good as gold to others, are of no greater value than pebbles or stones.
Now we understand why it says samulostrasma kanchana. Sama means the same. So he sees lostra, pebbles, asma, stone, and kanchana, gold, as the same. Whereas a materialist, he doesn't see them as, oh, no, I don't want pebbles and stone, I want gold. Right? But for the devotee, it's all the same. Because Buya kataya triptirhi shinvato nastime matam. The more I hear, the more I relish the nectar of your pastimes. So he's not interested in gold. He's interested in Krishna katha. Machita makita pranak bodhiyantas parasparam katiyantas chamam nityam tusyanticha romanticha. 10th chapter, verse number 10. Let's take a look at that. Whenever two devotees meet, they don't talk about the stock market or mundane news or politics. However, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, Krishna says. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me, not about Obama, not about mundane politics, but about Krishna, right? The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. The thoughts of the devotees are always thinking about Krishna or Ram or Narayana. They're not interested in these other subjects. All those other subjects, they're like fireflies, right? In the middle of the night, you see this little bug flying around and it lights up. Can that light equal the light of the sun? No, it's nothing. Some people think, oh, this firefly is really something special. It's nothing. This light is minuscule. We want the sun. We don't want the firefly. Actually, this is 10:9. I'm sorry. Okay. So we're not interested in mental speculation or academic knowledge. We're only interested in pure devotional service. Book knowledge without Krishna consciousness is useless. Okay. So now we go back to 7th chapter again. Okay, and then in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this process of understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is described in the second chapter of the first canto. Shinvata svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantak sto badrani vidunati shuhitsatam nastaprayesu badresu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati tamasloke bhaktir bhavati naistiki tadrajastamo bhavo kamalo badayasche chete tarana vidam stitvam sattve prasidati evam prasana manaso bhagavat bhakti yoga taha bhagavat tattva vijnana mukta sangasya jayate vidyate hridaya grantis chidyante sarvasam saya siyante tasya karmani tista evatmani swade. So read the translation. To hear about Krishna from Vedic literature. 7:1.
In the seventh chapter of
Bhagavad Gita. No, to hear about Krishna from Vedic literature. So it is
the last one. To hear about Krishna from Vedic literatures or to hear from him directly through the Bhagavad Gita is itself righteous activity. And for one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna, who is dwelling in everyone's heart, acts as a best-wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing of him. In this way, a devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. As he hears...
So you see, this is the value of constantly hearing about Krishna. Krishna's in your heart. He said, oh, my devotee's interested in hearing about me. Very good. Then I'm going to purify his heart so he'll go on hearing about me. And that way, the devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. See, dormant transcendental. It's there because we were with Krishna originally. So we it's there in our memory, but it's lost. It's covered over. See? Just like you're sitting here. Now, if I go to Home Depot and I buy 25 tarps, you know what a tarp is? Big plastic sheet, right? You know, they're blue or brown. And I cover you 25 times with 25 tarps, and I tie it up and duct tape it. Now, you're still sitting here, right? Would you be able to hear the class? No, you wouldn't be able to see anything. We wouldn't be able to see you. You wouldn't be able to hear anything, right? Although you're here, sitting right here. This is the state of most people, including many devotees. They don't hear. They don't see anything. It's wrapped up in this mind with gold and soft beds, and you know, they're not able to hear. They're mesmerized by Maya. Mesmerized means they're hypnotized by Maya, so they don't have the capacity to hear anything. But by regularly hearing, even if you don't understand, just like Prabhupada said, the first time he met his guru, he didn't understand one word. Of what he heard a lecture, but he didn't understand it. But he was very fascinated by his guru. And he kept on hearing. One time, he was in Vrindavan, and his guru was there, and many other devotees of his guru, and there was an announcement. Now we're going on Parikram to see the seven original temples of the Goswamis in Vrindavan. So everyone got up and went out. Prabhupada sat there. And his guru was there, and a few other people. Most everyone left. So his guru looked at Prabhupada, and he said, he will become a very great devotee because he's not interested in sightseeing. He's interested in hearing. Prabhupada didn't move. Everybody else got up. Only very few people stayed with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But Prabhupada was interested in hearing. Buyo kataya triptir hi shinvatos nasti me matam. So when we develop this desire to constantly hear about Krishna, Krishna acts as the best wishing friend of his devotee and purifies the devotee because of his tendency to constantly hear. Go ahead.
As he hears more about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and from the devotees, he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. By development of devotional service, one becomes freed from the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus material lusts and avarice are diminished. When these impurities are wiped away, the candidate remains steady in his position of pure goodness, becomes enlivened by devotional service, and understands the signs of God perfectly. Thus, bhakti yoga severs the hard knot of material affection and enables one to come at once to the stage of asamsayam samagram. Understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth Personality of Godhead. Bhagavatam 1 to 17 to 21. Therefore, only by hearing from Krishna or from his devotee in Krishna consciousness can one understand the signs of Krishna.
Hari Bol. Okay, so we read this yesterday, but it was so important. I thought it would be very important to hear it again. So yesterday we stopped on verse 5. So from verse 5, Krishna begins to explain the nature of the material world and the difference between the material world and the material body, and the jiva atma, the individual soul. And so let's read text 5. Besides these, meaning besides the Bhumir Apo Nalo Vayu Kam Mano Buddhirevacha, the eight material elements, or which are called the Apara Prakriti, the inferior spiritual energy of the Lord. Material energy is also spiritual because it's eternal. Besides these, Apariyam, there's another superior energy of mind, Krishna says, which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. So this is called the Tatastha Shakti. There is the Antaryami Tatastha Shakti and the material nature. So there's the interior energy of Krishna, the marginal energy of Krishna, and the exterior energy of Krishna. So we are Tatastha Shakti, the marginal energy of Krishna. We're Jivatmas. We're part and parcel of Krishna, but we're in a marginal position because we can go either way. We can either go on the material side or go to the spiritual side. See? Because we have limited free will. It's limited either to go on the material side or to the spiritual side. So we are marginal. We're right in the middle. All the three things are spiritual. Material nature is spiritual because it's eternal. It can never be destroyed. The jivas, we are spiritual and eternal. And Krishna's internal energies are all spiritual and eternal. But the material energy is considered inferior because sometimes it's manifest and sometimes it's not manifest. So now let's read the purport. Go ahead, read the purport to this verse. Verse 5.
It is clearly mentioned that living entities belong to the superior nature or energy of the Supreme Lord. The inferior energy is matter manifested in different elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Both forms of material nature, namely grass, earth, etc., and subtle, mind, etc., are products of the inferior energy. The living entities who are exploiting these inferior energies for different purposes are the superior energy of the Supreme Lord, and it is due to this energy that the entire material world functions.
That means the spiritual energy, not the material energy. Material energy on its own cannot function. It has to be touched by the superior energy in order to move and act. Go ahead.
The cosmic manifestation has no power to act unless it is moved by the superior energy, the living entity. Energies are always controlled by the energetic, and therefore the living entities are always controlled by the Lord. They have no independent existence. They are never equally powerful as unintelligent men think. The distinction between the living entities and the Lord is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. O Supreme Eternal, if the embodied living entities were eternal and all-pervading like you, then they would not be under your control. But if the living entities are accepted as minute energies of your Lordship, then they are at once subject to your supreme control. Therefore, real liberation entails surrender by the living entities to your control, and that surrender will make them happy. In that constitutional position only can they be controllers. Therefore, men with limited knowledge who advocate the monistic theory that the God and living entities are equal in all respects are actually guided by a faulty and polluted opinion.
So this is saying, if the living entity was independent, then it would not be subject to any exterior force, such as birth, old age, disease, and death. But the fact that the living entity is subject to these things means it's not independent. Therefore, Krishna, or God, is the supreme eternal. He's independent, and we all depend on him. And if we surrender to him, we become happy. And if we surrender to him, we're able to control our own mind and senses and engage them in his service.
The Supreme Lord Krishna is the only controller, and all living entities are controlled by him.
So this is, see, if you read modern philosophies, such as modern existentialism, represented by many philosophers, but one of the better known is Jean-Paul Sartre, French philosopher. His whole thing, existentialism means it's a philosophy of existence, right? We're all existing, but how are we existing? He said we're existing independent of God. Right? What's Bhagavatam say? Nobody's independent of God. We're all dependent. His philosophy is we're all independent. That we're destined to be independent. We're cursed to be independent. He used sayings like that, you know. So he's saying, he's directly contradicting the Vedic literature. That's a symptom of a demon. It's like Ravana, directly contradicting Ram. You see? And these are supposed to be great philosophers. People go to college to get a PhD in philosophy and they study all this nonsense. It's like I met this one guy in a restaurant, My Sweet Lord, and I asked him, I said, "You believe in God?" He said, "Nope." I said, "No? Nope." He said, "When I was a young boy, I believed in God. But when I went to college, I read a book by a PhD, and it said, we all come from chimpanzees. Therefore, I stopped believing in God." I said, "You got a chimpanzee in your family?" He said, "Well, the book says so." I said, "But do you have a chimpanzee in your family? Like one of your great-grandfathers or great-grandfather, was he a chimpanzee?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "You ever see any human being born from a chimpanzee?" He said, "But he says it in a book. He's got a PhD." I said, "But that doesn't mean it's true." So what, are you an idiot or what? Maybe you have a chimpanzee in your family. I don't have a chimpanzee in my family. I'm telling you right now, there's no chimpanzee in my family. You see how stupid people are? Because he read a book in which it says, we all come from chimpanzees, so he said, I don't believe in God. You see how crazy people are? Going to college is actually a curse. It's actually a curse. They go to college and become dumbed down. They don't become educated. Yeah. This is the college right here. This is the college of the soul. Okay, go ahead.
These living entities are his superior energy because the quality of their existence is one and the same with Supreme. But they are never equal to the Lord in quantity of power. While exploiting the gross and subtle inferior energy matter, the superior energy, the living entity, forgets his real spiritual mind and intelligence. This forgetfulness is due to the influence of matter upon the living entity. But when the living entity becomes free from the influence of the illusory material energy, he attains the stage called mukti or liberation. The false ego under the influence of material illusion thinks, "I am matter and material acquisitions are mine." His actual position is realized when he is liberated from all material ideas, including the conception of his becoming one in all respects with God.
Do you know anyone who thinks material acquisitions are mine? Yes, that's the whole point. And most people think, I'm just, you know, this body. That means I'm just matter. And material acquisitions are mine. That's the false ego. You see? So acting under the influence of false ego, people have no chance to know Krishna until they defeat that concept. So, therefore, the second chapter, Krishna says, Vihaya kamam yasarvam pumam charati nispraha nirmamo nirahankara sasantim adigachati. He says, second chapter, verse 71. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. So real desirelessness, Prabhupada says in a purport, is desire for the satisfaction of Krishna. It's not no desire. If you have no desire, you're not a person. The wall doesn't have any desire. The carpet doesn't have, the rug doesn't have a desire, right? So if you have no desire, you're not really a person. But you can change the quality of your desires from desiring material acquisitions to desiring Krishna. Then you become a real person. So real desirelessness is desire for the satisfaction of Krishna, not an artificial attempt to abolish desires, as the Mayavadis do. They say, you must become free of the ego. Right? Free of the ego, then you're not a person anymore. Free of the I am. No, you have to become free of the false ego. I am a product of matter. To aham brahmasmi, I am pure spirit, the eternal servant of Krishna. You can't become free from ego, then you don't exist anymore. You know, free from the I am, that means there's no more I, then what is there? Nothing. You see, so Mayavad philosophy doesn't make sense. It's all hodgepodge nonsense. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Is that it?
His actual position is realized when he is liberated from all material ideas, including the conception of his becoming one in all respects with God. Therefore, one may conclude that the Gita confirms the living entity to be only one of the multi-energies of Krishna. And when this energy is freed from material contamination, it becomes fully Krishna conscious or liberated.
Haribo. Liberation means becoming freed from all false concepts. I am a product of matter. I am Gujarati. I am this. I am that. All that, all those false identifications is the false ego. And those are all obstacles to making any tangible spiritual progress in life. It's only when sarvapadi vinirmuktam tatparat vena nirmalam hishikesha hishikena sevanam bhakti uchyate. Very important verse. One must be free of all the sarva upadis, false identification of oneself. This is a wonderful verse, sarvapadi vinirmuktam, from the Narada Pancharatra. And Narada Muni says, bhakti, your devotional service, means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from all material designations, and simply by being employed in the service of the Lord, one's senses are purified. Sarvapadi vinirmuktam tatparat vena nirmalam. So two things happen. One becomes nirmala, uncontaminated by the effects of speculative philosophical research and fruitive activity. And sarvapadi vinirmuktam, one is free from all kinds of material designations or free from all desires except the desire to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now you know why Narada Muni is one of the Mahajans. In one little verse, he summarizes the whole Vedic philosophy. Sarvapadi vinirmuktam tatparat vena nirmalam hishikesha hishikena sevanam Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uttamam Bhaktir Uchyate. Okay. So, therefore, when living entity is freed from material contamination, it becomes fully Krishna conscious or liberated. So that's what we're doing in Krishna consciousness. We're trying to purify all material contamination. Nira mama, nira hankara, sasanti madigachati. When we no longer think things belong to me, nira mama, nothing belongs to me. Well, everything belongs to Krishna. Therefore, education is learning how to use everything in Krishna's service. And nirahankara, I don't have any false pretensions anymore that I am the controller, I'm the owner, I am the enjoyer. Ishwaro hum humbogi. What's that verse? Ishwaro hum humbogi. One second, let me just find that verse. Ishwaro hum humbogi. One second. Very nice verse. Ishwaroham Hambogi. Ishwaroham Hambogi. Sidoham Balavad Suki. This verse says, I am the Lord of everything. Ishwaro aham. Aham bogi. I am the enjoyer. Sidoham. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. Balavan suki. Ishwaro ham aham bogi. Sidoham. Balavan suki. This is 16th chapter, 14th verse. The last two lines of that verse. This is a description of the illusion of a materialist. I am the Lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. You know anybody like that? Everyone's trying to be like that, yeah. Even the pauper is proud of his penny. It's a saying in English. The pauper is proud of his penny. Okay, now the next verse. Itadyoni nibhutani sarva nityupadaraya ham krishnasya jagatas prabhava pralayastata. All created beings have their source in these two natures, the para and the apara prakriti. Prakriti means that which is controlled by the supreme controller, Krishna. So he controls the spiritual energy, superior spiritual energy, and the inferior spiritual energy. Spiritual world and the material world, both. So all created beings have their source in these two natures. Yes, we are an eternal soul in a material body. Although the elements in the material body are eternal, the form of the material body is not eternal. Therefore, we're changing it continually in this life, and at the moment of death, it's a final change. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. So, let's read purport. Someone read. Dissolution means complete destruction. So, dissolution, dissolve, you know, nothing is destroyed. The only thing that's destroyed are the temporary forms. But the material nature itself is not destroyed. Okay, just the forms. Just like, let's say you build a castle out of ice, and then the sun comes and melts it. It goes back to water. So it's dissolved like that. The water is still there, but that ice castle is dissolved. So the material nature dissolves. It's never destroyed. Only the temporary forms are destroyed. Just like the Twin Towers were there, and then those airplanes went in, blew them up, then they disappeared. They're not there anymore. Now they rebuilt them. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Everything that exists is a product of matter and spirit. Spirit is the basic field of creation. Matter is created by spirit. Spirit is not created at a certain stage of material development. Rather, this material world is manifested only on the basis of spiritual energy. This material body is developed because spirit
is present within matter. A child grows gradually to boyhood and then to manhood because of that superior energy, spirit soul being present. Similarly, the entire cosmic manifestation of the gigantic universe is developed because of the presence of the super soul, Vishnu. Therefore, spirit and matter, which combine together to manifest this gigantic universal form, are originally two energies of the Lord. And consequently, the Lord is the original cause of everything. A fragmental part and parcel of the Lord, namely the living entity, may by manipulation of material energy construct a skyscraper, factory, or city, but he cannot create matter out of nothing, and he certainly cannot construct a planet or a universe. The cause of the universe is the Supersoul Krishna, the supreme creator of all individual souls and the original cause of all causes. As the Katha Upanishad confirms, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam.
Wait a minute, you said can I create out of nothing? Where did you read that? Where did you read that?
I think it's different in the app.
Oh.
I think it's just a very few small changes.
Oh, okay.
No, but
that, I was noticing that when I was reading it.
That's not correct.
I read this from, it says it's Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita.
Is it the 1972 Bhagavad Gita?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's not. That's incorrect.
Okay.
Krishna doesn't create something from nothing, right? Krishna's energies are eternal; they're always existing. The Catholic Church talks about creation happen from nothing, but how can it happen from nothing when God is eternally present? You see? So that's not here. It says. A fragmental part and parcel of the Lord, namely the living entity, may be the cause of a big skyscraper, a big factory, even a big city, but he cannot be the cause of a big universe. The cause of the big universe is the big soul or the super soul. And Krishna the Supreme is the cause of both the big and small souls. Therefore, he is the original cause of all causes. This is confirmed in the Katha Upanishad 2.2.13, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitanas. So there's no phrase here that creates from nothing, right? Okay. Can you see if that's the 1972 Bhagavad Gita? Misleading. Okay, so now in verse 7, and then we'll stop. Matak parataram nyanyat kinchi dasti dananjaya mai sarvamidam procham sutre manigana iva. O conqueror of wealth, there's no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. Sutre manigana iva. So let's read this purport.
In this verse, in particular, it is stressed that the absolute truth is a person, that the personality of Godhead is the supreme absolute truth is also the affirmation of the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parma Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. That is, the supreme absolute truth personality of Godhead is Lord Krishna, who is primeval Lord, the reservoir.
Primeval
Lord, the reservoir of all pleasure, Govinda, and the eternal form of complete bliss and knowledge. These authorities leave no doubt that the absolute truth is the supreme person, the cause of all causes. The impersonalist, however, argues on the strength of the Vedic version given in the Shvetashvara Upanishad.
Tato yad utaratram tad arupam anamayam ya itad viduram ritaste bhavanti ate tare dukam evapiyanti.
In the material world, Brahma, the
primeval.
The primeval living entity within the universe is understood to be the supreme amongst the demigods, human beings and lower animals. But beyond Brahma, there is a transcendence who
there's the transcendence.
There is the transcendence.
See, in English, the emphasis is on the first syllable, transcendence. If you say transcendence, it's a mispronunciation. Nobody understands what you're saying. No one will understand what you're saying. If you say transcendence, no one will understand. It's transcendence.
But beyond Brahma, there is the transcendence.
The only words that have the emphasis on the second syllable are foreign words. not original English words. So okay. You have a French word like... I'll say amour. It means love. So it's on the second syllable. The emphasis is on the second syllable. Or in there are French words in English like bonjour, hello, right? French. So bonjour. The second syllable is emphasized. But in English, you would say bonjour. You know, you emphasize the first syllable. But for a Frenchman, they wouldn't be able to understand what you're saying. They say, what? What did you say? You know, it sounds like hello, but it's not really hello. Because so when you say transcendence, nobody understands what you're saying. It's transcendence.
But beyond Brahma, there is the transcendence, who has no material form and is free from all material contaminations. Anyone who can know him also become transcendental. But those who do not know him suffer the miseries of the material world. The impersonalist puts more stress on the word arupam. But this arupam is not impersonal. It indicates the transcendental.
Okay, when you have two, we have the double negative. Not impersonal. It means personal. It's a double negative. So they cancel each other out.
Okay.
So if it's say impersonal, it means not a person. Mm. Not means not, right? But you put not and impersonal together, it means it's a person.
Okay.
It's called double negative.
Double negative. It indicates the transcendental form of eternity, bliss and knowledge as described in the Brahma Samhita quoted above. Other verses in the Shvetashtara Upanishad substantiate this as follows.
Read the English.
I know that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all material conceptions of darkness, only he who knows him can transcendent the
bond.
Transcend. I'm sorry. Only he who knows him can transcend the bonds of birth and death. There is no way for liberation other than this knowledge of that Supreme Person. There is no truth superior to that Supreme Person, because he is the supermost. He is smaller than the smallest, and he is greater than the greatest. He is situated as a silent tree, and he illumines the transcendental sky, and as a tree spreads its roots, he spreads his extensive energies. From these verses, one concludes that the Supreme Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all-pervading and by his multi-energies, both material and spiritual.
Sahasra Shisha Purushaha Sahasra Sahasrapat Sabhumiyam Bishwato Ritva Dasangula. Right, so that's the same thing. It says exactly the same thing, that he's expanded throughout the whole universe. He's everywhere present. There's no way, there's nothing is independent of him. See? So the Svetasvatara Upanishad, the Purusha Sukta, and if you look at the 13th chapter Bhagavad Gita, you'll see the same thing is being said. Uh, 1 second. So, 13th chapter, 29th verse. Samam pasyan hi sarvatra samavastitam ishwaram nahinasyatmanatmanam tato yati param gatim. One who sees the super soul equally present everywhere in every living being does not degrade himself by his mind. Thus he approaches the transcendental destination. One second. One second. Anyway, you get the idea from that verse that the Lord is everywhere present. And this other verse, Sahasra Sishra Purushaha, from the Purusha Sukta, it's in the purport 2. It's in the same chapter, 7th chapter, verse number 19, Bahunam Janmanamante, 7th chapter, verse 19. He quotes Sahasra Sishra Purusha, Sahasrakshas, Sahasrapat Sabhumim Vishwato Vritva, Tyatistad Dasangulam, Purusha Evidam Sarvam Yad Bhutam Yachchabhavyam, Uttam Ritat Vasyasano Yad Anen Atirohati. So he says, he is all that was and all that will be. He is the Lord of immortality and all that is nourished by food. Lord Vishnu has thousands of heads, thousands of eyes, thousands of feet. He is encompassing the whole universe. He still extends beyond it. He is he extends beyond the entire material universe. And if we read the purport, there it says, Lord Krishna's mercy is everything. He is the cause of all causes, and that this material manifestation is not independent from him. He realizes the material world to be a perverted reflection of spiritual variegatedness, and realizes that in everything there's a relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Thus he thinks of everything in relation to Vasudeva or Sri Krishna. Such a universal vision of Vasudeva precipitates one's full surrender to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna as the highest goal. Such surrendered great souls are very rare. So, you see, this is in the same chapter, the 7th chapter. It's going to explain how Krishna is everything. There's nothing outside of Krishna. Everything is contained within Krishna. And he is a supreme person. Right? He's present in every atom of the creation, and still he's independent, enjoying his own pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. He expands himself infinitely as Narayana, as Lord Ram, as all different incarnations, and as the Vishnu incarnations. And there's billions of Vishnu expansions in the material world, as there are billions and billions and trillions of Narayana expansions. And all that is coming from this little boy named Krishna. It's inconceivable. Achintya Beda Abeda Tattva. Okay. So now, from the verse 8 on, it begins to explain how to see Krishna in everything. Rasoham apsakonte apravasmi sasi sruraya. So whenever you taste water, that's Krishna. Whenever you see the light of the sun or the moon, that's Krishna. Because it's coming from Krishna. Whenever you hear the Om Pranava, Omkar, that's Krishna. Om is the impersonal representation of Krishna. And every Vedic mantra begins with Om. Om Agne Naya Supatara Yasman Vishwani Deva Vayunani Vidvan Yodashmaj Puranam. Excuse me. Yud yasmaj jurana meno buyastam tenama uktim vinama om tat sat. So that om, that's Krishna. As he says, if you look at the end of the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's very interesting. It's a long explanation of om. 17th chapter. Verse number 23, 17:23. Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdeso Brahmanas Chi Vidashmita Brahmanas Tena Vedascha Yagyascha Vihita Pura. From the beginning of creation, the three words Om Tat Sat were used to indicate the Supreme Absolute Truth. These three symbolic representations were used by Brahmanas while chanting the hymns of the Vedas and during sacrifices for the satisfaction of the Supreme. So then the next verse says, therefore, transcendentalists undertaking performances of sacrifice, charity, and penance, yajna, dana, tapakriya, in accordance with scriptural regulations, begin always with Om to attain the Supreme. Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam, Rig Veda 122.20. The lotus feet of Vishnu are the Supreme devotional platform. The performance of everything on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead assures the perfection of all activity. And then it explains Tat, and then it explains Sat. But in the purport, anyway, let's see. What does it say here? Whenever a Vedic hymn or holy name of the Supreme Lord is uttered, Om is added. This is the indication of Vedic literature. These three words are taken from Vedic hymns. Om iti etad brahmano nidestam nama Rig Veda indicate the first goal. Then tatvamasi chandogya upanishad indicates the second goal. And sad eva somya chandogya upanishad indicates the third goal. Combined, they become Om Tat Sat. Formerly, when Brahma, the first created living entity, performed sacrifices, he indicated by these three words the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the same principle has always been followed by disciplic succession. So this hymn has great significance. Bhagavad Gita recommends, therefore, that any work done should be done for Om Tat Sat or for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So, anyway, there's some explanation there about the word Om. And it's the impersonal way of addressing Krishna. But it refers to Krishna. When you say Om Tat Sat, it refers to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me see if I find a more explicit explanation of it. Ready cameras, 5:37. Okay. In the 10th chapter, verse number verse number 25, 10th chapter, verse 25. Brahma, the first living creature within the universe, created several suns for the propagation of various kinds of species. Among these suns, Bhrigu is the most powerful stage. Of all the transcendental vibrations, the Om, Omkara, represents Krishna. Of all sacrifices, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Rama, Hare Hare, is the purest representation of Krishna. So Om, or the Omkara, represents Krishna. And therefore Krishna says, Giram asmi ekam aksharam. Ekam aksharam. He says, asmi, giram asmi, of all vibrations, I am the ekam aksharam, or om pranava. And of all yagyas, I am the japa yagya. So he says, yagyanam japu yagyo smi. Okay, so anyway, that's enough about om. Also, he says, in this verse, he says, Rasoham apsakonteya pravasmi sasisuraya pranava sarvavedesu sabdeke purasham nisu. So he says this om prana, pranava refers to om, that is me. And in the purport, he should have mentioned that. Let's see. Yeah, and he says, the light of the sun, in the purport to that verse 7-8, the last paragraph, he says, the light of the sun and moon is also originally emanating from the Brahma Jyoti, which is the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. And pranava, or the omkara, transcendental sound, in the beginning of every Vedic hymn, addresses the Supreme Lord. Because the impersonalists are very much afraid of addressing the Supreme Lord Krishna by his innumerable names, they prefer to vibrate the transcendental sound Omkara, but they do not realize that Omkara is the sound representation of Krishna. The jurisdiction of Krishna consciousness extends everywhere, and one who knows Krishna consciousness is blessed. Those who do not know Krishna are an illusion, and so knowledge of Krishna is liberation, and ignorance of him is bondage. Therefore, you'll notice that Mayavadis, they don't like to say the name Krishna. They refer to Om, or the Absolute, or Brahman, whatever. It's very interesting. If you read books by Mayavadis, very seldom will they mention Krishna. Huh? Because they don't like Krishna. They think Krishna is a temporary manifestation of the Brahman. Okay, we'll stop right there. Continue some more tomorrow. This one chapter has everything in it. If you learn this chapter, you will be fully realized in Krishna consciousness. Yes.